This is Classic Business on Classic 1027 in Gauteng and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
But first, we've got Petri Riddlinghuis, the founder of Herenya Capital Advisors. And good evening, Petri. Are you there?
Good evening. I am indeed. Thank you for having me.
Petri, the market started off, from what I can see, started off the session reasonably strong, but lost momentum as a stronger rand dampened dual-listed stocks. Would that be a fair summation of what happened today?
I think so, yes. We started off relatively good. Look, we've had a couple of good news items coming out, especially in the international arena. Dovish Fed, Jerome Powell, saying a couple of good things, you know, saying that the potential for rate cuts in the U.S. is, you know, not off the table. There were several people who thought that there's no case for it, you know, as part of the Fed board, but there is a number of people who think that there is a case for it. So this is dovish and positive. Of course, that leads into a significantly stronger rand. And as the day went by, the market kind of just faded on the back of that. And it's a bit frustrating. Also, we had some issues with the JSE today where particularly futures trading, so the Aussie future and the whole equity derivatives market really was offline until like late afternoon, basically by the time that the US only opened that we have the ability to trade futures. So that may have been a bit of a damper on volume as well. Could have helped, I suppose, spur the poor performance. But, you know, mostly also kind of in line. Europe was down 25 basis points. In England, DAX was down 0.3%. French market also not 0.3% down. So I suppose given the global backdrop, we performed a little worse than the rest. But, you know, they were red. We are red. It's a bit of a disappointing performance today. I will be honest with you. Did expect the market to actually perform relatively well, but particularly within the banking and the retail sector, given the strong rand, usually we see you know, the dual listers and resources companies taking a bit of strain on the back of a stronger rand, but the banks really shining brightly on days like today, and we see most of the banks down sort of in the region of 1%, so it's a bit of a disappointing day.
Okay, we'll come back to the interest rate factor in a moment, but one of the features that I noticed today on the upside was Woolies. Up at one point, what, about 9%. Now, you know, I remember about a year or so ago, I remember talking to a broadcaster in this very studio about whether one should buy Woolies chocolate sweeties called Chuckles, which were trading at around about the same price as the Woolies share, or whether you should buy the Woolies share. And we both agreed that you should rather buy the Chuckles. In fact, we were actually right because the Woolies share prices went the other way. But today it looks like it's bounced from a relatively low base. What did you make of that?
So I think it's actually a tough one because it goes to show really just how poor expectations around South Africa is. I mean, why yesterday was the stock trading at a basically an 8% lower price? I mean, the results were better, yes, sure, and off a low base. This is something I've read a number of times in the news today. It's better off a low base, so there's a huge improvement and there's all this crazy positive sentiment. But, you know, it wasn't like that great. I mean, okay, yes, so food sales up by almost 10%. General, you know, general sales for the whole group or general group sales up almost 6%. So that's fantastic, right? There's still a bit of pressure in the Australian businesses and so on. But I mean, it was just absolutely fierce. And I think the way that the stock rallied today, at some point there was you know, a book over that took place with a few million shares traded hands. So I think that it's basically the performance we saw for it today is that, you know, there's a little bit of good news. South African investors or people invested in the South African market, at least, are so desperate for any kind of quality investment that when something comes out as positive news, because remember, we also had really bad manufacturing production numbers, better than expected, but hey, not good, right? As well as mining production numbers today. And those were both sort of really dismal. So see that a retailer is doing well in this environment, man, the only place you can really put your money at this point. So I suppose who's chuckling now is a good question. So a decent performance for the share on the day, but for the sector at large, a bit disappointing, you know.
Do you know, the other day I was on a panel with Sid Vianello, well-known retail analyst, and, you know, we came to the conclusion that And we came to a lot of conclusions, but one of them really was that the retail sector, in the absence of any really meaningful catalyst in the local economy, is probably going to stay relatively subdued. And I think Woolies is a classic example of this. You know, maybe I'm obviously putting words in your mouth, but do you think this is a case where it's bouncing from a very, very low base because of reasonable results, and you people are just jumping in and buying it because it's been so long since we've seen that?
Yeah, there's nothing else really that's doing well, right? And okay, let's really kind of dissect what happened in Woolies today. So yes, food sales is up because what they're doing is they're realizing that, you know, even the rich people are price sensitive. So a lot of their stuff, if you buy at Woolies, is becoming actually, you know, fairly priced, and there's a lot of value to be found with 2-for-1 specials if you're on the Woolies Club card member or whatever, however it works. But so they're really kind of positioning themselves as not this exclusive expensive retailer, but somewhere where you can go get good quality fresh products and food products for a good price, right? And that's working, and we see that is increasing sales. But as you say, compared to the rest of the industry, yes, if you look at the economic backdrop, what expectations can there really be for good results, for, you know, stellar results coming out of the retail sector over the next 2 to 3 years? Not really much. So when there is a company that goes, you know, we managed to grow sales as a group by almost 6%, you know, that's really good news. And it's the only, that good news people cling on to and say, well, jeepers, you know, I want to be invested here because at least somebody's making money.
Okay. Now, look, briefly before we go to the quick break, with a stronger rand-dollar exchange rate hovering at around about the 14 rand level, you know, what are the odds of a rate cut in South Africa in the near term, do you think?
I don't know. So obviously, I'm glad I don't have to make these decisions at the end of the day. But obviously, you know, with a stronger rand, that's going to put a bit of it's going to ease off inflation a bit. The petrol price might come down and that kind of thing. So I think it kind of dampens the chances of a rate cut. It's a dangerous game to play because, you know, we are under severe economic stress, if you can put it that way. So a rate cut would really help a lot of people, but also, you know, you don't want to cut the rates too low and kind of force inflation, when we're actually in a space where, you know, inflation is going to come down by itself. We don't have to try and slow down the economy, but is it going to come down to such a point that we have to try and speed it up by cutting rates even more? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think that we see a rate cut unless we see a rate cut in the U.S.
Okay, and I mean that's something that people are looking at very, very closely indeed. So with the possibility of rate cuts in the developed economies, especially in the U.S., I think there remains an outside chance we might see something like that. Look, we'll develop that in a moment or two, but I think in a couple of seconds we're going to go to a traffic report and then the break.
This is Classic Business on Classic 102.7 in Gauteng and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
You're back again with Classic Business on Classic FM, and I'm talking to Petri Riddlinghuis from Herenia Capital Advisors. Petri, what I've been picking up in terms of looking at interest rate cuts is that while they may have an impact, I'm talking about in the developed markets particularly, is I think if there is going to be an impact, it's probably going to be a temporary impact. In other words, you know, I think the market is looking for any little bit of good news, and if that comes through with interest rate cuts, great. But is it going to be long lasting, either in developed markets or if it happens in South Africa, would it have any longevity here either, do you think?
Look, I don't know. The South African story is difficult. Hey, just from a market perspective, if you think about it, the JSE has really gone nowhere for 5 years. Volumes have come down to a third of what it was 5 years ago. The economic or the market conditions here are truly dismal. I mean, the amount of traders and stockbrokers and things that I talk to relatively regularly, I don't think I've ever seen worse conditions in markets in South Africa ever than what it is at the moment, the last few months especially. And I know we keep saying this every 6 months because it keeps getting worse every 6 months, right? And this is just the reality of it. So will an interest rate cut really make a difference here? I mean, we are concerned about asset prices, share prices, that kind of stuff. I think maybe in the short term, yes. But will it make a longer term difference? No. We need policy reforms. We need structural changes. before things are happening. The world is expanding without us, right? So I don't know if interest rates is the magic pill. You know, if we cut interest rates, yeah, okay, it'll maybe get a few people excited for a couple of days, get stock prices up, print a few headlines in newspapers. But is it going to make a long-lasting difference? I don't think so. In the international market, it's interesting to see what's happening where, you know, the S&P is trading at record highs. Unemployment in the U.S. is almost at, you know, generational lows. And yet they're talking about we need stimulus, we need to cut rates, we need to, you know, Europe is talking about further quantitative easing being an option to get the economy going on that side. So it's a very difficult and strange place to be. And to try and contextualize that, what I have to keep reminding myself is that we've had almost 10 years of bull market, right? Which is one of the longest economic expansions in history as far as we can look. Not maybe not the longest, but definitely one of, right? So if you look at the way that markets behaved post 08, 09 financial crisis, post-dot-com bubble, post-87 crash, we saw that there were a number of different things that you know, there's obviously a number of different indicators that we can use to look at this. And one of them is that gold goes up while equity markets goes up. And this is what we're seeing now. So we're seeing a situation where they're saying, look, we're going to cut interest rates in the U.S., we're going to be accommodative, and gold is running on the back of that inflation hedge because more money being printed equals inflation, and people then flock to gold and safe haven assets to protect themselves from inflation. But also all that free money increases asset prices and equity markets rally, right? Then we've got stories where, I can't remember exactly what it's called, but somewhere in the 80s, the U.S. kind of forced some of its trading partners to strengthen their currencies versus the dollar so that the U.S. didn't have to purposefully weaken its currency, but it would rather get its trading partners to do that. So there's rumor that Donald Trump wants to do this now with a number of the U.S. trading partners, kind of forcing them to cut or to strengthen their currency by 5% versus the dollar. Or, you know, if you fail to do so, you face a 25% tariff of all trade with the U.S. kind of thing. So they're kind of forced that they have to strengthen their currencies versus the U.S. dollar, which means a weaker dollar, which means a crazy commodity price rally, which plus the potential of interest rate cuts, which means higher gold, higher equity prices. I mean, from what I can tell, I don't know. We don't know how much longer it's going to last. Is it 6 months? Is it 12 months? Is it 18 months? Is it 2 years? We don't know, but we do know that we're in the last bit of a bull market. So what makes sense here is that we have a blow-off rally, a blow-off top, where the market maybe does another 50%, and then the bubble pops, right?
Okay.
So that's kind of what I'm thinking is busy happening, but it's very difficult because we don't know how long it's going to last. I'm not trying to say that, you know, this is the top. I'm just saying that the picture that is sort of developing the global macro environment is that, you know, the end is near. We just don't know how near.
Yeah, so I've been saying to people that this is one of the most dangerous markets that I've ever seen. As you rightly say, this has been going on for 10 years now. And it's a very much a speculator's market, a punter's market. It's only really for the professionals. And, you know, I think people who are looking at the US market particularly think they're going to make a quick buck. They must be very, very careful indeed. But coming back to the local market, I noticed on the downside today, EOH, I don't know how it finished up exactly. It was down about, what, 7, 8% at one point?
Yeah, I'll be honest, I didn't really watch the EOH sort of stock today, but at the end of the day, 8.4% down, R22.24. So really terrible trade. I don't know, I didn't see any sense articles or news out on it or anything like that, so I'm not really sure what the driver was behind the stock, but it's kind of been ranging just from a technical analysis perspective. It was stuck below this R20 level for some time. It broke out of that last week in sort of 2 days of just really strong rallying from R20 to R24, right? And today it kind of just gave back half of that move that it made. It's probably coming back down to test the R20 level. Right. I don't know if this is just a function, you know, a function of some catalyst in the market, some news event that maybe we didn't pick up, or if it is literally just the function of somewhat illiquid stock. Someone had been, you know, had the stock pinned down at R20 for a couple of days. That seller eventually disappeared. It popped up R4 on the back of that. That momentum has dried out. It's relatively illiquid. One big order pushes it down R2, right? It's right. the most logical explanation I can think of.
Okay. And Blue Label Telecoms, I mean, that didn't look like it had a good day either. What's going on there?
So, I mean, what do you think's going on? What gets companies down 20-30% in a couple of days? Is corporate corruption. there was a story out today that, obviously the South Sea business is in trouble, that they can't, they're trying to postpone their debt payments because they just don't have the money. And now there is external investigations being done into irregular practices, potentially irregular practices within the South Sea and or Blue Label Group. So, I mean, investors obviously just catch wind of that and run for the hills. Also, not the most liquid stock, let's be honest.
No, absolutely, yes.
So the moves are a little bit, extra violent. But, generally just on the, it's the same sort of rhetoric, since Steinhoff. It's crazy how many worms are coming out the woodwork and how deeply ingrained this corruption business is in our entire economy. It's not just government.
No, you're absolutely right, and it's across the board. Where are the potential opportunities then in the South Africa's, the SA Inc. stocks, as they're called? There's been so much widespread selling. I mean, we look at things like Tongaat, for example. We've mentioned EOH and quite a few others. At the beginning of the year, I think a lot of people were very, very positive about this sort of thing. But now it's kind of ground to a halt. The momentum seems to be falling back.
Yeah, so it has... I think, you're right. At the beginning of the year, it was a positive election result. There's a number of things that started happening. It was Ramaphosa version 2, right? And unfortunately, as we've learned the hard way, things take a very long time to change. I do think that things are busy changing. We are seeing some things happening, but, it's frustrating to us because it's not happening fast enough. So where are the opportunities in the South African marketplace? I don't know. I thought Sasol at 350, 360 was the one. And then that broke that level and it traded down to 320 Rand today. So maybe there's deep value there if you're patient and you're willing to pick it up closer to 300. That could be a good buy. Alternatively, I think the trick is really just to find the stocks that are the most resilient and are outperforming the top 40 over the last 3 to 5 years and back those.
Those
are doing well for a reason. So
okay.
It's a bit of homework. I mean, there was huge opportunity in the platinum sector earlier this year. I don't think that's over. Honestly, I think that a company like Sibanye Gold, for example, is potentially... over the next 5 or 10 years going to be a great winner. Yes, the share price is like double this year, but I don't think it's done. If we look at where it's come from, it was trading at 70 Rand at one point. And I think that the Stillwater acquisition is going to start paying off at some point.
Okay, Petri, okay. Sorry to butt in there. I think we're going to have to ask you to, if we can just stop there, we're going to have to go to a word from our sponsors. But thank you very much indeed, Petri Ridlinghaus, founder of Herenia Capital Advisors.